I know all of you. That's why you're clapping. Almost all. Hi. Oh, my goodness. What nice people around here. Anyway, not all these poems are funny. Sorry. But this one is all right, maybe. This is called The Girl Who Was Sometimes a Tomato. I remember that tomato. She was always blushing, a deep red. She passed me in the park. Actually, she wasn't a tomato. She was 12 years old, and so was I. She was in my class in school. In an impulse, I got up and kissed her on the cheek. Right away, she turned into a tomato. I like tomatoes, I said. My mama wouldn't mind if I took you home with me. I'm kind of heavy for a tomato, she said. I've been going to the gym, I said, lifting weights. Okay, she said, just be careful how you pick me up. Her name was Gladys Schlanger. Imagine a tomato with that name. Gladys kept changing. Sometimes she was Gladys, sometimes one of an array of vegetables. When she was Gladys, she was kind of shy. When she was a tomato, she wasn't shy at all. I could eat tomatoes, but I couldn't. Oh, I better change the subject. When I got home, I told my mother that I met a tomato named Gladys. She asked me if Gladys was skinny or fat. She's plump, I said, like a tomato. You're too young to be thinking about tomatoes, my mother said. You better do your homework. I opened my notebook and began to write and draw pictures that had nothing to do with any of the subjects in school. I don't know what happened to Gladys Schlanger. I wonder if she's still sometimes a tomato. Maybe she gave birth to little ones. Someplace, just before dark, a smashed weed over sprawled on a curb, fries in teeth, cigarette, blistered fingers. I'll cut him a large circle, let him drown in his beer. Let's go down to the river, he said. Wait for the sun to come up. Paleontology. Ah! The Crazy Aches, my name. Who are you? Hold me up. What eons you from? And me, what accident? Got me here. Been 3,000 million years. Ow, it hurt. Without these aching bones, there'd be no thing left, no thing at all. Oh, yeah, my soul, you say. So what about it, young'un? Take many a year to grow a soul. I'll leave it to you, young men, to fix the bones of a splintered man, his worn down sorrows, is all. Conversation. Ordinarily I would, but it is in the interest of, anyhow, there are the trees, the black oaks. Usually we discuss this when we are, What did you say? Ordinarily I would, but in the interest of, Anyhow, there are the trees, the black oaks. Venus de Milo, the long time ago's gone. Look at her face, her mouth, that slight smile. Behind it, the wisp, her eyes, the fear of them. What she was made of, the earth's dust, the waters. Okay, 10 minutes, I was told. I'm not going to take that much time. I'll tell you a little bit about the way I write. Usually I start just writing what's going on inside my head. I call it a free write. It's a long way from a poem. On Sundays, I don't know about if you know about Sundays, Squirrel Hill Library, it's open to everybody. People come, anybody comes. That's a wonderful group. I've been going to it for about 10 years more. It was started by Laurie Arnold. Unfortunately, she's leaving us, going to Vermont to live. I have no idea why she's leaving, but anyhow. But we have Sheila Kelly. She's right here. She's smiling a little bit. She's the one who has Nasty Woman over her. Anyway, she's far from a nasty woman, but she very often, well, we take turns reading what we've written, but Sheila is the one, to me, she's the glue that holds the group together. So we do what we call free writes, and there's a prompt, and we respond to the prompt. So anyway, it's a long way from a prompt to a poem. You take out this, you put that in, you take out what you like best, because the poem starts to talk to you. It says, that's good, but it's not part of the poem. It doesn't belong here. So anyway. And then there's some free rights. You try to take out stuff or put out stuff. It doesn't work. You take more and more out, and it's gone. So what do you do then? You just let it alone. So basically, in my last poem I'm going to read, it's basically a free write. I have to let it alone for what it is. That was of white fire made. The window, the sea, and the near sundown. And child again from nowhere, and once, and she was gone again. That was, and the sudden dark, and eyes closing, and the lights downtown red and yellow, crying now, why the wild beasts roaming, flying? A sea that was stark white, a bit of a boat struggling, the surf fell back, the boat rose with the crest of the wave. Speaking to him in a strange tongue, as if he didn't know all aloof, all alone that he would meet that sea that was made of white fire, that beckoned and spoke in so many tongues, with the city lights behind and the swirls to gray, and again through that window, many things that were familiar from a long ago time when he sat a child on the sand, and Mrs. Berezovsky, who was very fat, and his mother near her, sitting upright with a proud look that hid the horror to this place of that place, and the villagers overcome with their horses and swords, and Santa Monica with its kindly sand, where he sat with his pail and shovel digging into the soft sand until the wetness came, and deeper, the sand dispersed and driven by the wind, stinging his eyes, and she wore the look of pride that hid the shame, and what he saw through the window, and in an instant was gone. Thank you.
Thank you.